Welcome to the Dare to Believe podcast. My name is Christy Grainer, and I am here with Rob Mazza and Charity Bowman-Webb from the Streams Creative Academy. So we want to do some chatting. So welcome, guys. Would you just tell everybody just a little bit about yourselves?
So my name is Rob Mazza, and I live in northern Idaho, Coeur d'Alene area, with my wife, Katie. So, yeah, I've worked with Charity. I'm kind of like trolling along behind her and helping her out this weekend. And we both have a lot in common about the whole creative move that God's got us in. So.
Yeah. Mm. Charity, we're so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Tell us about Limitless.
So Limitless is a message that God gave me 10 years ago now, I've realized, was the first kind of time Limitless came out. And he began to speak to me about the power of his creativity and how we'd lost a lot of understanding of what that was in the church and how to therefore tap into it, how to use it, how to activate it. And then it took me, you know, the Holy Spirit sort of took me on this journey of going deep into the Bible and deep into kind of life experience and also just with the people I was working with and drawing from all of that to really discover the evidence of where it is, because it's important to obviously find it in the Bible. But then also the journey was on, what did it look like? What were the outworkings of it, you know, in my life and different people's lives that he would send me to? And it became a message. It became a book, and then it became a course. And its core message really is about reactivating this creative DNA that God has given to everybody. And that it's not just for the arts. That's the first thing everybody will think. It's an arts class. But actually, it's about the importance of the arts as a language. But it's also about the fact that our creativity from God is for every single believer, to every single calling. And if we don't have it, then we're lower on power than God intended. So that's it in a nutshell.
Lower on power. Mm. Say just a little more about that.
So if we think about the easiest way to explain it is that, you know, in Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, first line of the Bible, first chapter of the Bible, you know, God, he introduces himself to us. And then, you know, John Paul Jackson did this great thing about the 365 character names of God. And then it struck me one day as I was kind of thinking about this and praying about this way back 10 years ago, of all the names that God would have chosen to be the very first one, which is like the handshake of God because it's the word of God to us, his people. Why, you know, which one did he choose? It doesn't mean it's more important. But it's what theologians call a first, a biblical first, is where it appears something in the Bible for the first time, then it's very important and we should reference back to it. And I thought about that and looked into Genesis 1. I thought, well, the Creator was the name he chose first. And then all he did in the very first chapter of the Bible was demonstrate himself as the Creator. So he didn't even just say it and leave it there. He did this massive demonstration of creating the heavens and the earth. And then he said, Genesis 1:26, let's make mankind, humanity, in our image. There's the image of the Trinity. And I thought, well, the only thing God has demonstrated up to that point was creativity. Obviously, we need the whole Bible. We need everything that became modeled for us by Jesus. But if, you know, it's almost like I like to call it as if, imagine God at his desk, he reaches for the highlighter pen when he's writing the Bible, inspiring the word, and draws a line over important highlights. And Limitless began to track these sort of pivotal points where something would tip. And again, it would be these demonstrations that included God's significant creative power co-creating with a human being. After that initial impartation, it would be these, you know, co-creative projects. And they would demonstrate different, you know, different circumstances, different callings to different niches in culture. You know, it might be the arts, but then it might be politics. You know, think of Joseph and Daniel. It might be right into the heart of government. And it was just, you know, the message began to unpack that and the following message, the second book I wrote. I just can't find an end to the evidence. You just, the more you dig, the more you find.
And what is the second book you wrote?
It's called Creative Fusion. And that was when God began to unpack the tabernacle pattern for me a lot more. So Limitless began to grasp the beginning of that. And in the subsequent years, Creative Fusion went into a much deeper study of the seven stages of the tabernacle pattern. And each one of them was a different demonstration of what's on offer to us, the creative power of God. And I would say it's like, if you've got $1,000 in the bank and you don't even know they're there, you're not going to dip in and use it to do something. And that is basically like our creative DNA. If we don't think it's for us, if we think creativity is just the arts, and then we think the arts are low on power in the church, then we don't use any of that stuff. And I think that's a lot of where we stand in the church right now, is we've diminished this. We don't realize this power bank that's in there. And so that's what the message is about.
Mm, that's beautiful.
I was going to add to it, in a practical vein, about 20 years ago, really this year, it's 20 years ago, John Paul Jackson had the idea of sending a team into Burning Man. And
describe Burning Man just for people who aren't familiar.
It's a countercultural festival in northeast of Reno, Nevada, way up in the middle of nowhere.
Heavily worldly.
Very worldly, so mm-hmm. to speak. So it's kind of like, you can call it neo-paganism, you can call it hyper-creativity on steroids, anything. Mm-hmm. But anything goes. And it's also, man is the measure of all things. That's the sense we got.
So sending Christians into that environment was very radical.
Very radical 20 years ago. There were, for our part at Streams, there were some Christian groups there, but for our part at Streams, there were seven of us, and that was our pioneering group, and we joined with a group from IHOP that had the idea of giving away water and just doing conversations with people. It was really a nice landing for us to fit in with our prophetic evangelism, our prophetic ideas, and dream interpretation. But in keeping in line with the idea of creativity, it seemed to be the main theme that went on there. And in fact, it became, you know, you were talking about, go back to Genesis and God's first name and how important it is. Mm-hmm. We're in the culture so far that you can't lead out with Jesus, the Redeemer, Savior, etc. It worked very well for us to refer to God as Creator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or just God in a generic sense. But like I always say, because we are bearers of light and bearers of His image, and when you see us, you see the one who mm-hmm. sent us. Mm-hmm. So it has a whole different tone for us to say God. And so through that journey of modeling Creator, and then also modeling the other names of God.
Right.
It would get extremely creative. The other part of that is my core belief that not just the Trinity, but Holy Spirit in particular is, you know, you read through John 14 through 16, a lot of those descriptions are very creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He's going to show you things to come. He's going to be there to comfort, to stand alongside, He's going to be there to inspire. All these things were absolute truth there for us to heed, because the usual methods of non-creative evangelism, if I could say that, didn't work. People saw right through it. In fact, they were looking for actually what Jesus would urge us to be, you know, carriers of His light, carriers of His presence.
Mm-hmm.
And all that is creative. We're not made one-dimensionally, we're not made two-dimensionally, but we're made in His image.
Exactly.
And people, that's what they were hungry for.
Mm. What I love about you talking and equating it with reaching out into a broken world with this creativity is that God created mankind in His image. Male and female, He created them.
Mm.
Not believers. So even people who don't know the Lord were created in His image to be creative. And people know that, and creativity flows.
Mm-hmm.
But to associate that with the God who created everything is a radical idea for most of the world. And so to bring those two together is a powerful way to reunite the world with a God who created people in the first place.
Yes.
And the culture actually knows that. They're looking at us and they're going, okay. They would kind of pick up we're Christians after a while, but they would look at us like, you're different because you're many-sided in a sense. Mm-hmm. They could see a lot of attributes of God. They can not only see kindness or deference or honor, they could also see that we feel deeply. And, you know, but for the grace of God, we have experience in brokenness like all of humanity.
Yeah.
And they appreciated the refreshing honesty. They also appreciated that we would be interested in touch like they are. But we would have touch of a different kind, a mother's touch, a father's touch.
I love what you were talking about earlier today, where you said the Lord basically told you that he tested you the first few years of going to Burning Man. And you went there for how many years?
Out of those 20 years, I went about 15, I think.
Yeah. But the first few years were almost a test to see if you would truly love these people. Because yeah. to discount them would not be to represent the Lord well.
Exactly.
Yeah, Jesus paid a price out of love.
Yeah.
And we need to represent that love, even if people don't hold our values, to love them regardless.
Yeah.
Which can be hard.
It's funny because we almost have a scale of acceptable brokenness. But you go to Burning Man, they've broken all the scales
right.
of acceptable brokenness. But yet, Jesus still loves them. And are we able to go beyond the brokenness? I'll give you a little story. It was in the early years that were kind of tough for us. But I was sitting with a woman, and I think I gave her a prophetic word, something to do with her character, how she was made. And she basically said, wow, that's really good, thank you, but I have I kind of have a bone to pick. You know, how come you Christians think you just speak a scripture and it's supposed to do something? And so the Lord started, like, nudging me in those days, like, apologize. You know, and I don't remember what I particularly apologized that time, but I remember another time, they were just saying, you know, you Christians, you judge harshly or something. And I said, what came out of my mouth was, I'd like to apologize for the way we judged you and your difference and missed your hunger. Because God never misses your hunger. And boy, did that land.
Yeah.
And the humility to do that. Yeah.
What would happen between us is there's this bridge built, and they would say, well, thank you. Of course I forgive you. We were just waiting for someone to say it.
And to apologize on behalf of something you didn't necessarily do, but the Christian community did, that's beautiful.
We would have to do it because we are, in essence, part of the community, even though we're a bit different, but we'd have to owe up to our people.
Right. You know. And that is how Jesus treated people. You know, with the woman at the well, he came and he basically said, you need this living water. She said, I want the living water. And he said, well, go and get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He's like, that's right. You haven't had five husbands. You have gone through five husbands. But what the reality of being a woman that day and age is, women didn't divorce their husbands. Husbands spoke divorce over their wives, and it was over. So five men rejected her, and the man she's with now isn't even marrying her. So what Jesus was telling her there is, I see you. I know all that. And I see you, and I care. And so that's what you were doing when you were meeting with those people. Is like, I know all that stuff. Or I don't know it all, but I mean, I understand that you're messed up. But I see you, and I care. Mm-hmm. And for human beings, we just need that.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're being like Jesus when you do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the place I actually met this woman.
At Burning Man.
Yeah.
And so what brought you to Burning Man?
Well, Burning Man and meeting Rob and the Burning Man team was a huge part of kind of activating the whole kind of limitless journey. So what brought me to Burning Man was I've always been connected to streams since I was quite a new believer. So but I think 25 years I've been saved, and about 23 of those I've known streams because John Paul Jackson came to Scotland to teach the art of hearing God. And I had no idea who he was, but it was at my sister's church, and I knew I had to be on that on that course. And that, you know, so I was traveling the whole streams journey, done all the courses, training to be a streams teacher. And then a lady called Lisa Maschek came over to Scotland, and she came to teach a dream intensive. And as part of the dream intensive, she showed us this video about, you know, the teams that she was going with, of these crazy Americans going into this hideous dust bowl. I hate the heat. So I was thinking, that's a frying pan situation. You'd never catch me doing that. And camping and, you know, ministering to all these people. I thought that bit was really awesome, because in Scotland, we had begun to take what we were learning in the streams courses with prophecy and dream interpretation. And we were going out on the streets and into, you know, festivals and things like that. But this looked like a different level. And so when Lisa left, she just randomly messaged me back and said, I really felt to invite you on the team. And I laughed and said, well, that's really nice, God, but I've got no intention of going to the Nevada desert to fry, you know, and camp. But the Holy Spirit just kept waking me up for, like, she said, take a couple of weeks to think about it. You know, I had young kids at the time, and, you know, it was a big deal to go. And I thought, well, thanks very much, but I'm not going to go. And then the Holy Spirit woke me up 10 days in a row. But what if this was going to be the greatest adventure of your life to date? And I love a good adventure. So that was it. And I found myself in the Nevada desert with 39 Americans. I was the only person outside.
39, was there your team?
There was no Europeans but me that first year. So it was, and I didn't know anybody. But it was really life-changing. And I think, you know, following on for what we're saying about Limitless and what Rob is sharing, is that before I was saved, I'd already been trained in art and design. That was my whole background. And when I became, when I became a Christian, I came into a church. I loved the family of God. I mean, they sat with me and cried with me and healed me and, you know. And when I sort of came out of those initial very intense 2-3 years, I really began to look around church culture. And I just thought, well, who killed all the, where did all the designers go? Where's all the architects? Where's all the painters? You know, I came from this incredibly creative world of training and then work in London. And I was right in the middle of all the swirl of actors and dancers. And I came into a culture, and I'd kind of, you know, I'd been getting to know this wonderful God who was just the most amazing thing I'd ever found in my life. But then nobody was talking about anything creative. I mean, back then, PowerPoint was words on the screen. We hadn't even got to images yet, you know. And the church I was with in Glasgow was beautiful old architecture, but it was like so many churches in the UK where you've got stunning architecture of yesteryear, but the inside was just so, for an interior designer, which was one of the qualifications I studied, it was just lifeless. There was no art, there was no, even the you know, the lighting was terrible, the whole place smelled like a mothball. And I was thinking, why? You know, and so I began to ask God this sort of question of, if, you know, if you created us all, if you made me and all the people I remember in London and all my creative friends, then why is the message to me loud and clear that none of what we do is important? Like, we don't talk about it, or we, you know, does anybody want to do the vase of flowers? That would be it for, you know. And it began to break my heart, but it also began to leave me very disillusioned. And I just sat with the Lord and I said, right, Lord, I need an answer to this. And we tried to do evangelism the way I'd been taught. Go out and just speak to people about Jesus and then invite them to church the next Sunday. And I had 2 years of just lifeless, horrible, quite rejecting experiences doing it that way. And I thought, I hate this. Before I was saved, you know, I enjoyed people. I liked to be with people. They generally enjoyed me. And then when I had to try that approach to the evangelistic methods I was being told were the only legitimate ones, I just began to feel like I had a bad smell around me all the time. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted to come to church on Sunday. And so I said to the Lord one day, I give up. I know there's an answer. But it was a real prolific moment for me that I said, Lord, I believe there is a way to reach people, that I don't have to lay down everything I am and everything I love and all the creativity I'm passionate about. And it has to be something where it's effective. It draws them to find out who you really are, because I think you're incredible. But the way that I'm being asked to convey you, it's not working. It's not conveying to these people, you know, who you are. And so for about 18 months, I just waited and prayed. I refused to keep doing that method of evangelism and feeling terrible about me and just terrible about, you know, the results. And that began to lead me to find prophetic evangelism, first in my own nation. And then as I went to Burning Man, I was ready to see something new. And what I experienced with these crazy Americans was the kind of stuff I love. And it woke up everything I had suppressed. And it started to answer my questions. And the Lord said to me, I never said it wasn't important. I needed to bring you into a time and a place and a people that you could activate this with. So I wrote the message of Limitless. But I always say the message wasn't about my journey. It was about the journey of the many that I was connecting with, these guys, you know, and what we were experiencing in Scotland. And watching a method of evangelism just become explosive when you bring back in the message that God is the creator, that you know, his creativity is not only important, it's an absolute key to evangelism. And without it, we're struggling. And just this, you know, Rob used to call it at Burning Man, the University of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I saw on the first morning there, because nobody knew me, so they're like, "Well, Charity, you do art or something, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, yeah, I kind of do art."
The art lady.
Yeah, yeah, because I had an honors degree and a diploma in, you know, I did a lot more than just art or something. It was my field, and I worked as a designer at the time. And they said, "Well, you could help Andrea. She's going to put some art up in the encounter tent." I said, I am your girl. I'm very practical. Designers are very practical. But I'd also trained in the arts. And I didn't realize that was the first year that Andrea Berrether had stepped up into intentional art that she made in prayer and that she brought to Burning Man to release something. And God brought me in right on that year. And I didn't realize that was her first year heading
and
that up.
Art can carry the presence of the Lord. And when it's birthed
exactly.
in prayer, when it's birthed in...
Oh, and it did. Yeah. It,
it,
it released
a tree of life set in our military tent, which we called our encounter tent. We would bring people in and work with them, with two or three people in a team. And so it was a tree of life.
That's true.
And the branches spread out all over the ceiling. But it absolutely fit what people would expect to see. Like, everyone has a theme camp there. Everyone is artistic, and they all put, you know, they'll put 9 months of their heart and soul into decor, into the way they dress. And we had to step up our game.
Right.
Well, 360, the way we dressed, the way we acted, the way we spoke, the art speaking, everything had to speak Jesus. It's kind of like, well, that's reminiscent of the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. Well, and too often,
speaks of the nature of God.
Too often, Christian art and creativity of all sorts is kind of second rate.
Very much so.
And that's not representing the Lord very well. So to have it be excellent, and I know that you've got amazing stories about what you did at clan gatherings and things like that. I'm thinking of, Rob told me that, I know that Rob's been a creative person. You're a furniture maker, you make jewelry, but you were telling me a few months ago about writing and how the Lord was drawing. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk a little bit about how the Lord's been drawing writing out of you and what you're doing to stir that since you've been working with this creative movement?
Yeah,
it's kind of like writing's been in me for a long time, but I never took it really seriously. You know, I get phrases and... Even my prophecy, you know, prophetic utterances that come out of me will come out poetic without me even trying. And so, you know, I ain't a smart man, but eventually I figured out, okay, I started writing more. And it's really Burning Man that got me writing, because I'd have to write out a report for what happened every year. And then people would say things like, I just weep in tears when I write, when I hear your writings. And I knew it wasn't just the event, it had to do with a gift. So long story short, last year in our church, I just said, all right, gloves are off. If 10 people tell you to write a book, you probably should. But if 100 people do, which is my case, what are you doing? So I did an end run around to like stimulate my creative juices. I said, I'll just start a writer's group, Lord. And so I chose six other people, and they all turned out to be brilliant. They happened to be in my church. My pastor is one of them. Mm-hmm. And
but several generations. You said that was important.
That was important to me because that fit our Burning Man model, that we have a co-leadership of a woman. We'd have many generations. We'd have many nationalities. That was all really important for us. And it's not like we forced it. It's like God brought them to us. So the same thing happened to me with my writers group. I've got most of them are, about half of them are 20-something. We have eight now. We have four men, four women. We've got, some mix of nationalities, which I love. Mm-hmm. But what I really love is the quality of writing. You know, we've got everything from rap, spoken word, to very formal stuff coming out. Our second oldest member is 50 years old. He's got a degree in English, and he's writing a fantasy, basically, Christian fantasy, based on how he met his wife. Just really interesting stuff. So we meet once a month.
Do you critique each other then?
We critique one another.
Is that painful or scary? Or that sounds a little, because you're kind of vulnerable when you write.
Okay, so here's what I, you know, you have to have some ground rules for the river. You know, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to work with us in this medium. So I said, listen, I realize this is pregnant, this is in the culture right now, spoken word, but we're not, if we go to a dark area or negative, we're going to land on our feet at the end of our piece with something redemptive, something hopeful. And for the most part, we're just going to keep it in that vein. We're not going to avoid pain. We're not going to avoid problems.
But you're not going to end there.
We're not going to leave it there.
Okay.
You know, so that's our ground.
There's always hope. With the Lord, there's always hope.
The other rule is we laugh a lot. And we often segue into bits of ridiculousness because I believe that's part of the creative process.
Absolutely.
We have to think outside the lines. We have to laugh outside the lines. And it's just turned out to be brilliant. I can't believe how many of us are like ready to write a book. You know, our pastor's working on a children's series of books, but then they'll write really serious pieces. I write mostly about nature and autobiographical kind of my snapshots of the world passing by, and you know, others do, like I said, rap and things. So
that's cool.
I love the variety. I love the energy. And oh, and then we get to perform it in church.
Oh, wow.
Which is something I was invited to do 10 years ago. And this is what I'm just dying to say to writers out there, that if your writing is really dedicated to the Lord, focused, and you commit this gift to the Lord. I've seen, this actually happened the first time I got invited to a church to speak. It was a church of 60 in New Hampshire. Scott Evelyn was alive.
Oh, okay.
He said, would you speak on Sunday? I said, yes. But then I came back to him. I said, Scott, I've been here on the mountain, and I've been inspired to write. Every time I come here, creativity goes off charge for me. Would you let me read my writings? And he said, sure. So I read three pieces instead of doing your conventional sermon or teaching. And what happened was you can feel, you know how you can feel Holy Spirit touch points when you're speaking? Usually two, three, you know. I was getting 10. You know, it was more 360. Like, you know, I think of, and now the polyvariegated wisdom of God is made manifest through his church, Ephesians 3:10. And that verse is particular for how we formed our construct of what we saw at Burning Man. But to me, it's like what I expect in the spoken word. So I get done and I'm having this moment like, this is something new and it's great. I love it. And so Scott comes up behind me and he goes, give an altar call. And I'm going, but Scott, there's only probably three writers here. And he goes, no, trust me, give an altar call. And I go, oh, okay. So I do, and like 90% come up for prayer. And they have 10 different reasons, you know, for why they wanted prayer. You just couldn't, like, pinpoint where the Spirit was going to go. But they have all different reasons, like, you touched on fathering. You touched on brokenness. Mm. You touched on the glory of God in a sunset.
Wow.
You touched on why people are going to, at that time, they were going to that event you went to.
The Haunted Happenings.
Yeah, Haunted Happenings in Salem. I did a piece about that. And so people are up for all kinds of reasons. Mm. I thought, I like this presentation of Jesus.
Right.
You know, so it's one of my favorite. Thanks for asking. It's one of my favorite forms right now.
Well, and writing is hard. Yeah. Yeah. I think, this is so good. I wish we could just go on for hours. This is wonderful. But so creativity, if people are stirred by what you're saying, and that they will be, I mean, how can people not be? How would they delve into this, and how can they find you and find your teachings?
It is an online course. So we filmed it in Dallas a few years ago, and it was all kind of edited, and it's really well presented. So it's easy to do the online course through Streams Ministries.
Streamsministries.com.
It is indeed. And then I think you've got a year, you know, to dip in and out of the course and listen to the files. So a lot of people have done that. And then if they can come as alumni to a physical course, there are obviously things that you can do. When you're all together in a room, you meet people on a like-minded journey, and we do a lot more kind of exercises and all that kind of stuff. But also, it's a book. So you can get Limitless from Amazon.com or Streams Ministries International. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you both for being here.